Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The angel of the Lord, the Son of God, appeared to Gideon and called him a mighty man of valor. But Gideon did not appear to be very powerful at all. He was hiding from the Midianites who were oppressing the children of Israel. The Midianites would come up like locusts on the land to destroy Israel's crops and kill or take their animals. And as a result, many of the Israelites were forced to make dens and strongholds for themselves in the mountains and in the caves. And what little wheat Gideon was able to gather, he was forced to thresh it in secret, in a wine press. And on top of all of that, his clan was the weakest in Manasseh, and he himself was the weakest in his father's house. And so we can understand Gideon's response to the angel of the Lord's greeting. The Lord is with you. And Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." There are times when the people of God, Israel, today, the church, feel like Gideon. Perhaps there have been moments in the darkening days of this very Advent when you yourself have asked questions similar to this. If God is with us, if He really is Emmanuel, God with us, why is the church struggling, or mistreated, or ignored? If God is with me, then why are things such a mess? Why do I feel alone? Why am I sick? Why am I suffering? Where is the power of God that we hear about in the Bible? See, like Gideon, we too sometimes feel forsaken. And yet, we also know deep down that the messes we experience are sometimes of our own making. And that's how it was in Gideon's day. See, the reason God allowed Israel to be overrun by the Midianites, is because the Israelites had done evil in His sight. And this happens repeatedly in the book of Judges. The Israelites forsake the Lord to run after other gods. They think these gods will give them more of what they want. And then God's anger is roused against His rebellious people, and He allows their enemies to overtake them. And then, in their distress, they cry out to the Lord for help. And the Lord raises up a judge, a deliverer, someone to rescue them from the power of these enemies. And the land has rest, and everything just goes well for a period of time. But then, the judge dies. The people become spiritually complacent, apathetic. They forsake the Lord again. The whole process starts all over. This is a warning for us. When everything seems to be going well, we too can be tempted to become complacent in our faith, forgetting the Lord and forsaking Him for the things of this world. And it should not surprise us then if the Lord allows hardship to come upon us so that we might be brought to see what we have done. But this is also for our comfort. The Lord is doing this for our good. He's seeking to work penitence in our hearts so that in faith we might call upon His name again with greater urgency. He disciplines us like a son whom He loves. And with the law, He turns us away from our idols, and by the gospel, He draws us back into Himself, restores us into Himself. And through Christ, our deliverer, we have rest once more. Now, Gideon is a picture of Jesus. He was the one chosen by God to deliver Israel in that day and to bring them rest again. Even though he was weakest, and even though he was least, he was the Lord's man for the job. This is a consistent theme, even to the end of the Gideon narrative. Instead of defeating the Midianites with a massive army, the Lord insists that Gideon reduce his army down from 32,000 to only 300 men. This was so that the victory would not be won by human strength, could not be boasted about by human, but solely by the wisdom and the strength of the Lord. The power of God being hidden beneath seeming powerlessness points us to the fulfillment in Jesus. Gideon is a living prophecy of the victory over sin and death. Sin and death, which the Lord brings to us at Christmas, this victory. It's a way of God that the last shall be first and the humble shall be exalted. And Jesus embodies this. He is the mighty, the eternal Son of God. Yet, He doesn't appear to be so. He was laid in a cattle trough or a crib. His birth took place almost secretly. He appeared to be nothing more than a poor peasant boy. He was born in Bethlehem, which Scripture says is little among the clans of Judah. And when, as an infant, his life was threatened by Herod, he was hidden away in Egypt for some time. Jesus, our mighty man of valor, appeared to be vulnerable and helpless, not only in his birth, but also in his death. Nevertheless, he brought about the fulfillment of his own words, which he had spoken to Gideon. I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. Gideon and his mere 300 men would defeat the countless Midianites as one man, because the Lord was with them. Lord Jesus defeats all of our enemies, quite literally as one man. By His incarnation, He has taken our humanity into Himself. And by His death and resurrection, He has destroyed sin and death and the devil once and for all. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. So Jesus is the army of one, the only one who can deliver us from our enemies. The one man Jesus defeated our powerful enemies. One man. and through weakness, because He is the Lord in the flesh. Out of lowly Bethlehem came the one to be the ruler and deliverer of Israel. The Midianites, in their confusion, would end up turning on and killing one another in their camp. And in the same way, Jesus turned death and Satan against themselves on the cross, delivering us forever from their power and the sin that oppresses us. The one man, Jesus, assumed humanity of all people in His conception and birth. So this one man's victory also counts for all people in His death and in His resurrection. Now, the name Gideon means one who breaks or cuts down. Jesus, our Gideon, has broken, has cut down all false gods and the devil himself by the wood of the manger and by the wood of the cross. Now, the angel of the Lord first appeared to Gideon when he was threshing out wheat for bread in a wine press. And he departed from sight after Gideon offered up bread and meat on the rock. All of this points us to the sacrament of the altar, where the Lord fulfills His promise to be with us in the flesh, where His body and blood offered up on the rock of Golgotha are given to us under bread and wine. Now, Jesus has departed from our sight. He is still present with us as true man in our need, so that we might also share with Him in His divine glory. And so we say with Mary, He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted those of humble estate. Now finally, when the angel of the Lord departed from Gideon, he perceived fully that he had been in the very presence of God. And Gideon thought he would die for having seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But Gideon is given a word of peace. And so also we are given peace, an invitation to come into the Lord's presence without fear, through faith in Jesus Christ. By His true humanity, we are saved from judgment and reconciled to God. The Son of God also comforts us by saying, "Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." The Lord Jesus is both the mighty God and the Prince of Peace. So let us then, during this Advent season, look to Jesus as our Gideon, whose might is hidden in lowliness. And let us, with penitent hearts, hope in Him who is born to be our eternal deliverer and Savior. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, how encouraging it is to read about the exploits of flawed people like Joshua and David and Paul and Gideon, whom You graciously used to carry out Your plans and purposes for the furtherance of Your kingdom and the ongoing history of the world. As You continue to bring Your plan of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord to its full consummation, we pray that You would use us in whatever way You choose. Help us to trust Your word more and more, and to allow Your perfect peace to guard our hearts, for Your greater praise and for Your glory. Amen.